At Quite the Thing Media, we aim to bring you the best podcasts produced by independent creators, made without constraints.
Hey everybody, this is Kay from the F My Work Life podcast. Join Podcast Father on this journey, sharing great things all sorts of creators are doing. He's the indie podcaster.
You've been searching for a podcast. Want to know about some great artists? Come to the right place. Indie Podcaster with your host, the Podcast Father.
Mama made me mash my M&Ms. Welcome to another episode of Indie Podcaster. I'm your host, Jeff, aka Podcast Father. Torch the Poet joins me. I was sorry, Torch. I was warming up my vocals, brother.
Oh, man. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Oh, what's up to everybody? Shout out to you, Podcast Father. Appreciate you having me on, brother. Everything's going great, I assume.
Absolutely. Torch is from Chicago, but now lives in a retirement community in Florida.
Soaking up the sun. Soaking up the sun and podcasting my butt away for the Crow Show and representing the Take Flight Squad and how we, or as Jeff likes to call us, the Take Flight Posse. And, you know, we're dropping gems about everything that's taboo. So check us out every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and get on Twitter space.
How is it going from Chicago to that retirement community in Florida, Torch?
It is a breath of fresh air because there are no gunshots, and I can wear any colors I want. Literally.
And the weather's a little bit better than the Windy City, I assume.
Yeah, there's no shoveling of snow, and, you know, I can put away the winter coat, moon boot, and go out there in short, you know, shirt off and shorts on, having a good old time. Don't try it the other way now. You might get in trouble.
Torch does take care of a lot of dogs, though, so there is a lot of shoveling shit. He may not be shoveling snow, but the size of dogs you take care of down there, there has to be a massive amount of dog shit.
Yeah, especially if they buy my canine cuisine as a pet chef. Oh, yes. My canine son eats good, and my customers for babies, they eat just as good. So I'm thinking about getting a Poopy Scoopy to send to each customer who spends over $100.
It'd have to be like a backhoe, man, one of them things you actually rent, drive around to pick up that shit. Anyways, man, let's talk about the podcast that we're going to interview today, Playlist Wars. Brian and Gomez do the podcast. I talked to Brian. So this is a really cool concept, Torch. I know you're familiar with it too. They're in our indie podcast community, let's say. Pick one topic or something like Queen. They lay out their top songs from that artist. They have three people on there, usually the two of them, and they have a guest, and they debate on the ranking of their playlist, and they let the people decide. What an awesome concept.
Yeah, I really, really dig that. My uncle, he's a professional DJ. I really like the fact that when you get your audience included, you make them feel as though their input matters. And what a way to really, really bring in and draw in your audience and a wider audience as well.
Brilliant. It's an awesome interview because it really highlights their skills as content creators. You have to be really creative, come up with a concept like this and execute it. It's incredible.
Yeah, I agree. And if you guys didn't do it first, I would have got all that shit. Yeah.
I know, right? It's one of those things where you're like, damn it, why didn't I think of that?
Exactly. Exactly, bro. But they got it.
Yeah, they got you, man. They got you. Big money. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's dive into this interview, Torch. But before we do that, I'm going to take care of a little business.
You know how we do.
Jeff here. I want to talk about a few things that keep this podcast going. If you like the work that I'm doing, I encourage you to share it with a friend. That really is the best way to spread the word about Indie Podcaster. I would love it if you would go to your favorite podcast listening platform, may it be a Apple or Good Pods, and leave me a rating. Throw me some stars if you would like. All that word of mouth and sharing reviews of this podcast does help. This podcast and myself are proud member of Quite the Thing Media. Quite the Thing Media, podcasts that speak to you. Go check out all the great independent creators from around the world. It is a community-based podcast network. Check it out. It's great. QuiteTheThingMedia.com. If you want to check out my page, it's QuiteTheThingMedia.com/podcastfather. You can request a review from me on site or submit a form to participate on this very podcast. Check it out. I highly encourage you to download and listen to your podcast on the Good Pods app. This app is awesome. You can see what your friends and influencers are listening to. They've got groups for all your interests. I've got two groups I highly suggest you check out. I've got the Indie Podcast group. I've also got the True Crime Obsession group. If you're an indie podcaster, Good Pods is for you. They've done crazy amount of things these last couple months to reach out and help indie podcasters. They've got tip jars on there for your podcast. They've got performance charts that are based just on independent podcasts. Make sure you download the app and check it out. PodPage is a proud sponsor of this podcast. PodPage is an amazing resource to build your podcast website. You want them big search engine hits. You want to be out there. You want to leave your mark in the digital world. And this website makes it extremely easy to do that. You can set up your podcast website in just a few minutes. Make sure you check it out, podpage.com. That's enough of all that. Let's jump into this awesome interview. I'm super excited about this interview today. I've got Brian from Playlist Wars. How you doing, Brian?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Jeff. Really excited to talk with you today.
So you made the comment before we actually started this interview that you finally get to see the face. You even made a joke if I had the priest outfit on.
Yeah, you don't look like the avatar as much because I don't see the crown. It's headphones and a hat, but I'm going to let it slide for today.
Yeah, I'm just some grumpy old man. My Twitter picture is much cooler than my presentation. Anyway, I'm glad to have you, man. Connected with you guys. Well, it's probably a while back now in the beginning stages of me getting involved on Twitter. Got on to your podcast pretty early. I'm trying to remember which episode I listened to first, but nevertheless, I've listened whenever I can. Honestly, you guys have a great podcast. So I'll give you the floor and let you talk about what you guys do.
All right. Well, we are called Playlist Wars, and the show is co-hosted by myself and my best friend of 25, probably closing in on 30 years now, Gomez. And we basically have a pretty simple format. Each episode, we bring on one guest, one person, and we pick a topic, a band, or an artist. And we each go and separately create a 10-song playlist that we feel best represents that artist. And after we do that, we come on the show together and we reveal them one by one in a roundtable format. We don't share any picks before we talk because we want the show to be organic. We want it to be an actual conversation between friends. We want there to be shock. We want there to be, are you kidding me, moments. And if we already know what everybody's picking, you can't do that. So we make sure we plan it all out in advance, and then we bring our lists and we make a case for why our playlist best represents the band. And we go into roundtable discussion about it. We talk about why songs did make our playlist, why something didn't. And it turns into a fun conversation where we can go into depth about the songs we're choosing, why they resonate with us, why they don't resonate with us, as well as dropping in fun facts, because I am a 40-something year music nerd. When kids were playing with toys growing up, I was in the record store buying cassettes. When video games were the rage, you know, when NES, I'm sure I'm going to date myself immediately, but when Nintendo first came out, sure, I love playing Nintendo, but I always had the sound off because I had the radio cranked up to 10. Gomez is the video game movie nerd. So he brings music. He comes from music from that angle. So it's always something different. And the guests we bring on, we try to bring on guests that are passionate about either the topic or band that we're talking about, because we want it to be something where people are not struggling to find 10 songs they like by an artist. We want them struggling because there's way too many songs that they could possibly choose from. We want that angst and that, oh my God, I can't believe I had to leave this off my playlist.
I think what's really cool about the podcast, besides you and Gomez going back so long, there is a competitive spirit to it. this roundtable format that you're talking about, the banner that you have, it does get a little competitive, does it not?
It's certainly competitive, but it's competitive with asterisks around it because we all know that we're giving our opinions. When we're talking about the music, we do our research and we'd like to bring as many facts about the songs that we're choosing, where they landed on the Billboard charts, how they placed, if they were on soundtracks, if they were in movies, in video games. So we do our research to bring facts to the table. But our arguments for the songs are opinions. And we respect the fact that if someone disagrees, it's not a personal slight. They have a different opinion. And that's kind of the beauty of it. But we are friends of 30 years. So there is going to be some of us, you know, we're going to go at each other a little bit because we're friends. And the guests that have come on the show have fallen right into that spirit. And they'll dig at us and we'll dig it. But it's all in good fun because we know we're just giving our opinions. And at the end of the day, we also ask our listeners to vote for which one of the three of us, quote unquote, got it right. And that is the playlisters, as we call them so lovingly on the show. That's their opinion of our opinion. So basically, we all understand that there is a game format that kind of ties everything together. But at the end of the day, this is our discussion, having fun, talking music, and celebrating the bands, artists, and topics that we're doing on the episode. But we're ex-sports guys. Gomez and I played football in high school. There's the competitive edge that we have. We talk trash off air all the time. We're texting each other like, looks like you're going down in votes. Sucks to be you, you know, just kind of going back and forth and kind of keeping that little edge going.
Yeah, I remember listening to my first episode of Playlist Wars. First thing you both asked is like, who won? I remember that. Then there wasn't going to be a right answer regardless on that one. But no, that's
a lot of the times there isn't.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's all opinionated anyway, but you guys are definitely having fun with it, I guess is my point. Talk to us more about you and Gomez, man. You want to have to get real personal if you don't want to, but talk to us about that relationship and then also your guys' relationship with music that make you love it so much.
Sure. Well, Gomez, I actually met Gomez because my senior year in high school, I got called down to the principal's office. And that's never a good sign. You're always going, what I do now? So you go down and they said, we want you to show a student around for the day. He's going to be starting as a freshman next year. So he's going to mirror you for the day for your classes. And you're going to tell him all about the school. Turns out that Gomez was my buddy for the day.
Awesome.
And the following year, I went off to college, and when I was home for the summer, I happened to be out with some of my friends, and because I played football with these guys, and he was now on the football team, through friends that graduated a year after me, 2 years after me, he started becoming part of the circle that I hung out with, and then him and I started hanging out, and we've been hanging out ever since. At one point, when I was at my largest, I was well over 315 pounds, still playing football, I could hand him my ID and he could get in showing my ID because we looked like identical twins. And not that we ever did that, though. I just want to make that very clear. Uh-huh. We never did it, but we could do it if we wanted to.
Gotcha.
But with the music part of it, if you hang out with me, music is part of the equation. It's kind of all I talk about. It's what I listen to. It's my most passionate thing. When we go hanging out, we go places. I always got going back into the 90s. I always had a book of discs that I bring along with me in the car. Yeah, I would judge people. I'd be like, oh, you got a CD book? Let me go through these here. Oh, you have that. I mean, I would judge ex-girlfriends. I would flip through the CD book going like, ooh, I don't know if this relationship's going to work. I can't believe you own this. Now, we started going to concerts together. And like I said, now we both have families, wives, and kids, and we've been able to maintain that friendship throughout this all these years. And probably about 8 months ago, he started saying to me, dude, I want to try a podcast, but I don't know what I want to do with it yet. I'm throwing around these different ideas. And at the time I was doing another music podcast. And I said, well, I have this format, but it doesn't fit what we're doing right now. So let me tell you the idea And then you tell me if this is kind of what you had in mind. And I laid out Playlist Wars. And before I could even finish it, he goes, dude, that's absolutely perfect. Let's do it. I'm in. Let's start recording. And we started putting out feelers to our friends and podcasting friends saying, hey, can you help us get a couple episodes going here? And they were more than happy to do it. And we launched with 3 episodes back in March. And ever since launching, it's just been a whirlwind ever since, because we started connecting with all these amazing other podcasters on social media and doing crossover episodes and discussions with different people. And it's we couldn't imagine a better first 20 episode run than what we've had so far.
For me, man, I can remember a lot of the music that my dad used to listen to, and that had a pretty big influence on me, I would say. How about you?
100%. My parents on Friday night would turn the TV off and turn the record player on. And that's how I got my musical education. As a 3-year-old, I had a little vinyl record player, a kid's version with a little plastic needle that had a little light bar on the front of it. I think it was made by Fisher Price. And I would put my Chipmunks records on it or my Muppet movie soundtrack on it. And I'd listen to that. And every now and then my parents would catch me trying to sneak like the Boston self-titled album or the Cars self-titled and play it on that one. And my father would be like, no, not on the kids player. If you're going to listen to the Cars, we're going on to my stereo. And and that's when he would start playing me albums like Huey Lewis in the News and the Cars and Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin. And anytime I asked about a band, if he had it, he'd pull it out and play it and kind of introduce me to them. So my musical education is very much from them.
What about other things, musically speaking, growing up? I see an instrument behind you.
Oh, that is my acoustic guitar. I've been playing, doing solo acoustic music, as well as playing in Colburn & Company, which is my acoustic-based cover band since 2008. I've got 4 full-length albums and 1 EP that are up on iTunes and Spotify and the like. All original music that I've recorded all on my own from my background. And Colburn & Company, basically, we play wineries and different events across New Jersey, doing all acoustic renditions of popular music. So not necessarily songs that are acoustic normally, but we make them acoustic. So a song like Don't You Forget About Me from Simple Minds, which was in the Breakfast Club, we rearranged that acoustically with piano, violin, acoustic guitar, and 3 vocalists, and we rearrange it and play it that way. So behind me is my Taylor Koa acoustic guitar that I got last year during COVID because I needed a little pick-me-up during all the quarantining. And I felt like that was a well-thought-out, well-rounded idea.
It's a nice one. So were you one of those band camp kids when you were younger? Or?
No, I actually played sports, and I would leave my sports/jock friends and I would go hang out with the musician/burner friends played music. So I kind of crossed over both kind of cliques, if you'd call it, in high school, because I would play football and I had a lot of great friends that I played sports with, but none of them played instruments. So in order for me at the time, I started on bass to be able to jam and play music with people. I went and hung out with the people that played music, which was a totally different crowd. And I was the quote unquote outsider in that crowd, but I still was able to, because of as soon as they talked to me for 5 minutes and they heard my passion about music, they knew I was cool to fit in there as well. So it was kind of that, I was kind of seesawing between the two.
Heck, now you make your own band camp, huh? It's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really cool. So what about Gomez? It's kind of the same thing.
Gomez does not play any instruments, although he kicks ass at Guitar Hero and stuff like that. When it comes to video games, he could shred a song in Guitar Hero. And then I'll be like, well, dude, here, I'll hand him my guitar and he'll just stare at me and be like, you know, screw you, buddy.
But he can click those buttons faster than you could ever imagine, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. I remember when that game was big. A little bit older than the normal crowd playing it, but well, you as well, but no, that's
exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I'll be honest with you. When I first really, I started some audio stuff on the internet in 2005, never been big into music per se, in the sense of talking about music on a platform like you do. obviously music is a huge part of our lives, and it's when you really think about it, it's everywhere. It's in everything, movies, et cetera. So I don't want to say it's not been a big part of my life, because it's been a big part of everyone's, but I just haven't talked about it on the platform like you. You said you had another podcast before, but going back and thinking about the music part of it, and I'm going to go ahead and guess radio would play a big part into it, as it did myself, because I've done that. But is there a musical or even maybe a radio personality that was a huge influence to you?
Of course. I worked in radio at the start of my career for the first 5 years of my career before transitioning into corporate broadcasting. So being in radio, I listened to countless radio programs, obviously Howard Stern, Opie and Anthony, Ron and Fez, Loveline with Dr. Drew at the time and Adam Carolla. And they would always bring on musician guests, and I'd listen to the interviews and I'd learn more about the music, as well as at my former job would run radio tours, which means I would board op radio tours for artists that would come in, and they would go on stations across the country on 10-minute blocks. So I would work the sound for that, connecting with the radio station, making sure they could hear the guest. And I would get to listen to interviews over and over again, sometimes with the same person, listening how stations across the country would interview that same person. And you'd get a feel for, wow, a station down in the South is asking about this, but stations in California are asking about this. And then all the stations across the country are focused on this. So it kind of gave me the background as to what made for good interviews. I could look at the musicians and see what questions would get under their skin, what questions would really hype them up, and what questions would kind of be the ones where they could just close their eyes and kind of just repeat the statement that they've said 5,000 times over and over again. And when I went into podcasting, I wanted to kind of make it something where it was something different than that. So any interview I've ever done, my goal is to get the interviewer to legitimately look me in the eye, even if it's virtually, and say, wow, that's an awesome question, because I don't want to ask the same things. I don't want to repeat the same 10 questions that are asked of them day in and day out, because then you're going to get the generic answers that they've rattled off so many times that you get no takeaways from it. So to be able to go in and really go in depth, and if you're a fan of a band, and you could say, hey, look, I know you got this single dropping and we're going to talk about that, but I want to go back to your album from 1996, and track 7 was this song called Blah, 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 and you never released it as a single, but that song resonated with me so much. Can you talk about that song? Sometimes it blows their mind, because that's a deep album cut. That's a song that they have, you know, in one instance wanted to work into the set list again, but was kind of waiting for some kind of reason to do it. And they said, well, now that you've asked, now I have an excuse to talk to the other guys and try to work that into the playlist, you know, into our set lists. With Playlist Wars, we have brought on guests from two famous bands. We had Rob Felicetti, who's the bass player of Bowling for Soup, which is the pop punk band best well known for 1985. And we've had John Laurie, who's the drummer of Tantric, and they're known for their hit Breakdown back in 2000. John's come on twice. He's a friend of mine outside of music and outside of podcasting. And he came on to do two different episodes. One was Eric Church, which was our second episode that we put out. And the other one was Led Zeppelin. And then with Bowling for Soup, when we were talking with their team, I said, look, I don't want to have Bowling for Soup talk about another band. I want someone from the band. I want to battle them. And that went over so well with the playlisters and listeners out there that we're looking to, in the fall and in the winter, start bringing on more bands and more guests to kind of dive into their catalog and look at their music through that kind of a lens, having the artist who wrote the songs pare down their life's work into 10 songs and then go up against two fans of that band who were coming from two totally different places. It was actually kind of a fascinating case study in and of itself doing the Rob Felicetti episode, because we're coming at these songs as a listener and he's coming at those songs as someone who plays them, as well as with some of the newer songs writes them as well. So there's kind of a personal pride and ego attached to it. And I don't mean ego in a negative way. I mean ego as in it's your art, it's your work. And then we're coming at the songs from purely the outside looking in. So it made a very fascinating conversation, that one.
I don't have quite the great radio voice that you do, but working in radio for a few years, it can definitely be a grind. But I learned a lot of valuable things just about outreach and people and things like that. But it can be a grind, though.
You could say that. And I don't even know if grind does it justice, because my first shift was Monday through Friday, which was very exciting because that was during the week. But it was 2:30 in the morning till 9:30 in the morning. Then I got promoted, quote marks in the air, to Wednesdays through Sundays, 4 p.m. to midnight. And then when I left the network I was at and went on to an actual radio program to do the technical production for it, it became 3:30 to 11:30. I did not see a 9-to-5 job until about 2005. I was always sleep deprived. I was always burning the midnight oil. I always had 4 Red Bulls in hand. And as much as I loved every second of being in radio, having to sometimes have shifts change on a dime and go from 4 to midnight, but then have to be back at 8 a.m. the next morning because somebody called out and you can't have the station go off the air, it can take a toll. And the beauty of corporate is it's a little different, especially when you have a wife and kids. Having a set schedule really does help us be able to be present in at least in my case, in my daughter's lives.
Oh, for sure. But I'm glad I'm not the only person that thought that. It was enjoyable in many ways, but completely, utterly exhausting in others, for sure. I'm proud to announce that the podcast father, myself, Jeff, and Podpage are teaming up for this sponsorship. Podpage is great, guys. Like I was telling you earlier, it is so critical to have an actual podcast website. I know the link trees are used a lot, but you need an actual website. You need something that's going to show up in Google. You need something that's going to show some hits, a trail that will lead to your podcast. And there's not a better way to do it than Podpage. You can build a beautiful podcast website in 5 minutes. Automatically create a listener-friendly podcast site from your RSS feed. Customize the design to create a professional look you'll be proud of in just a few clicks. There is no coding or technical knowledge necessary. There's a free trial to give this a shot, and there's different packages ranging from free to all the goods and gadgets, but still at affordable prices. Podpage is big supporters of indie podcasts, so make sure you support them also. Go on podpage.com and get your podcast website set up. With that being said, we will roll into this segment sponsored by Podpage, where we will play a trailer from a different indie podcast every episode. I hope you enjoy it and give them a listen after you're done listening to my show. Then afterwards, we'll jump back into the interview.
It's Steve Platt from the Know It Some podcast, where each week we interview a new and interesting guest to see if we can learn something. So far, we've interviewed Team USA flag bearer Eddie Alvarez, who just became the third American to medal in both a summer and winter Olympic sport. We've also interviewed the world's first YouTube celebrity and even the guy that designs the custom cleats and sneakers for all your favorite athletes. You never know who we'll interview next. We're just over 20 episodes in, so check us out, see if you can learn something, because while no one likes to know it all, it's always good to know it some. The Know It Some podcast, new episodes every Tuesday.
For me, I talked about my dad earlier. It was a lot of the Who. So you've mentioned one. What are some other things you grew up on that you've introduced to your kids? Is there anything that you've carried on from your dad to your children?
Music-wise, of course. Let me think here. First and foremost, my kids know the Cars self-titled album because that's my favorite album of all time. But what I'm doing is taking kind of a different approach because I have two daughters, and because of such, what they see on Nickelodeon and Disney, they get a lot of the pop music and a lot of the stuff aimed at kids, where a lot of parents would say, no, you know, let's listen to this and try to kind of force feed them the music that they grew up with. I kind of embrace what they listen to, but at the same token, use opportunities to slide the music that I listen to in. So my daughter came home one day after school talking about a song that her friends were talking about, Africa, which was Weezer. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, Dad, have you ever heard this song? And obviously I said, of course. I said, but did you know that that's not a Weezer song? And she's really, so I pulled out Toto's Africa and I played it for her. And I said, but because you like this song by Weezer, it's good, but let me show you something else. And I started playing for her Buddy Holly and Perfect Situation and Hashpipe. And now she's a big Weezer fan because of kind of taking what she listens to and kind of embracing it and finding common ground. So one artist that we both genuinely like, at least for the last album, Miley Cyrus's last album, Plastic Hearts, was absolutely fantastic. Now, as a 40-something-year-old guy, a lot of people might raise their eyebrow and go, Miley Cyrus, really? But she put out a fantastic pop slash rock album, bringing on guests like Billy Idol and everything else. They're well-written songs. They're catchy. They're well-produced. And a good song is a good song. I could care less who wrote it, who sang it. I don't care about what happens on TMZ. I don't care about what they said on Twitter. I don't care about any of that stuff. I'm listening to the song, and a good song is a good song. It doesn't matter who it is. I don't care what the stigma is behind it. All that noise goes out the window. If a good song resonates with me, I love it for what it is.
Perfect segue to my next question. Not that I have anything planned, but the great thing about music is that, like I said earlier, and it also matches with your podcast because it's about music, it can really reach out to anybody, any type of person, you know, any type of situation. So with that being said, when you're making a podcast like yours, if done right, it can appeal to anybody musically interested that listens to podcasts. If you had to say there was one type of person, you know, the demographic you're reaching out to the most, who would it be?
I think Playlist Wars is created for those people who, I don't want to say are obsessed with music, because that word might be too strong or too heavy-handed, but people that are invigorated by music, that music brings them the most joy in life, to the point that we were the people that when we bought albums growing up, I'm going to date myself again, but cassette tapes. When I would buy a cassette and I'd put it in my tape deck and hit play, I'd unfold that J card and I'd be reading those liner notes and reading the lyrics as I'm listening. And I'd be taking the album in, and it was an experience. Every time I got a new cassette and then CD, put the CD and you're flipping through the book. And our show resonates with the people that lived that way, that have album covers framed on their wall, because album art is an art of itself as well. It's tough with, I look at our demographics and I see that the Spotify generation is not our target audience, because they didn't grow up with that experience. They just kind of hear songs on curated playlists, which is kind of like radio. But at the end of the day, if they like it, they just add it to one of their own stations or one of their own playlists. They're not going out and consuming as much music as my generation did growing up, which is why I've been such a huge supporter of the vinyl resurgence, because it's allowing this generation who grew up with Napster, iTunes, and Spotify to actually go out and purchase physical, tangible items and kind of get that feeling of putting a record down and dropping a needle on it. And you're so much more connected with the music that you physically own.
You physically can hold.
And you hold it, and it's a piece of art. These artists and these bands created this. And this is sometimes it's very easy to dismiss when you're streaming. And that's not streaming has so many positives, but to me, becoming a rabid fan, when you own the stuff and you kind of connect with it that way, it just brings it to a whole other level. And we are the people that listen to Playlist Wars are the people that want to hear a little bit more about the songs they like, want to hear people talking about the songs they like, and want to feel like they're part of the conversation. Gomez and I had a hard time calling people listeners at the beginning of the show, because Playlist Wars is a two-way conversation. We're talking with our guest, but the three of us are also talking with the audience. The voting is them talking back to us, as well as chiming in on our website and on our social feeds with their 10 picks. And Gomez and I'll hop into the social media and start connecting with them and discussing things that way, because they're part of that conversation. We can't have 20 people on the show, because the show would last 16 hours. So we bring one guest on, but then we open that conversation to those who are listening, and we have that interaction with them after the episode airs, because that's part of that conversation. And it really has opened up our minds to songs that I might not have chosen. We've done episodes where people have said, how can you not include this song? And I'll say, well, I'm not a fan of it. And they'll send me, they'll tweet this like kind of diatribe over why I should reconsider and give it another listen. And anytime someone does that, I will stop what I'm doing and go give the song a listen. And it's opened my eyes to songs that I might have been closed-minded to prior to that discussion. And that's a beautiful thing. And I hope the people that are listening to the show are taking that away from our discussions about the songs.
You brought up digital, like Spotify streaming. One thing that I've kind of realized is that when this has kind of gotten larger, it's taken away from the appreciation of the overall body of an artist's work. So you might actually get your ears to listen to some more songs, like overall songs. But one thing I've realized is it really does take away from kind of knowing and listening to the whole body of work that an artist may have done.
100%. Streaming is the art of the single. People hear the singles. That is why when artists are putting out an album, when I was growing up, they'd put out one song before the album was launched. And you'd have to go and make a choice to buy an album. Mm-hmm. A cassette at the time was $8.99 or $9.99. And a CD was $13, $14, and you were making that choice to buy it based on one song. Now with streaming, people are creating the hits for the artist. So from a discovery standpoint, it's fantastic for the artist because the artist can see what songs are resonating that maybe the label isn't pushing. Maybe the radio stations aren't promoting. But there's a song that all of a sudden is growing in streams because it's resonating with people. The thing that streaming doesn't do is really embrace the album format. And a lot of the artists I listen to, sure, they put out singles, but they're part of a larger body of work. And sometimes when you listen to a song, it does not give you a proper representation of that album. And when you hear it within the body of the album, it's a completely different experience. I'll give an example, the Foo Fighters' latest album. When they dropped the single Shame Shame off of Medicine at Midnight, people lost their minds. They're like, what is this? It's like one chord. It's got a dancey beat to it. This doesn't make sense. They're leading the album off with this. And I sat back and said, wait, listen to the album. It might make more sense. And the day it came out, I went and bought the CD and I listened to it. And it most certainly makes more sense in the entire album listen, so much so that I actually appreciated the song more after hearing it within the body of work that is the whole album.
There's an example that kind of I'm thinking of off the top of my head too. Big Tom Petty fan, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Nice, my favorite.
If I went off of just streaming the old Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers song, I may not have really got to appreciate the value that Tom Petty brought to the table then when he went solo. I'm no music guru, so you can correct me if I'm wrong here. The CD was Wildflowers. That was a big transformation from what he was doing before, right? Then to that different kind of music, had a couple of really big hits in it. But from a streaming standpoint, I can see where that would be an example of something that could slip between the cracks and maybe you wouldn't appreciate the musical genius that somebody like him is. I mean,
Tom Petty is probably my favorite songwriter of all time. We had an episode on Tom Petty, a very popular one of ours with Ben Montgomery from the Records Visited podcast. And that one was, I spent more time hemming and hawing over that playlist than any other one. Hours where I would go and put a song in and I feel guilty, actual tangible guilt over a song. Right. But when you think of an album like Wildflowers, which is my favorite Tom Petty album, you think about the hits on it, which is You Wreck Me and You Don't Know How It Feels. Those were the radio hits. But then you open the album with this beautiful acoustic ballad, Wildflowers. Mm-hmm. And then later on in the album, you have this grungy 90s alternative rock song like Honeybee or you have this really slow kind of 70s groover, It's Good to Be King. That is an experience. And the way that album was produced with Rick Rubin was so smart because it took all the elements of Tom Petty's career up until that point and where he was evolving naturally as a human being and an artist and brought them all together and made a fantastic statement. And that album is just gorgeous from start to finish. And then I even went out and bought the super deluxe special extra extended deluxe version that they put out called Wildflowers, All the Rest. It's a 5 CD version with alternate outtakes, live cuts, songs that didn't make the album. And listening to those 5 CDs, it just made that album even more so my favorite because you kind of hear where the songs came from and where they went when they played them live. And you kind of get this, it tells such an amazing story. And anybody who is like, I love Tom Petty, but all I own is The Greatest Hits, because The Greatest Hits is Tom Petty's biggest selling album of all time. Rightfully so. There's not a bad song on it. And they say to me, where do I go from here? I say Wildflowers. And they go, but none of the songs from Greatest Hits. I said, yes, exactly right. None of the songs from Greatest Hits are on Wildflowers. And that's why you need to start there. It's a palate cleanser. Then you go back and you experience the other albums. And that really opens your mind to a guy like Tom Petty, because I don't personally feel he's ever put out a bad album. There are some songs that don't resonate with me as much as others, but a guy like Tom Petty was one of the true album artists. He put out singles, but he wrote albums. Make no mistake about it.
Sounds like I hit the right spot there, man. It's awesome. So let me ask you this. You talked about being active with social media. I know we talk a lot on Twitter. Mm-hmm. What are some other podcasts out there that have helped you along the way during your short journey of here, less than 6 months in?
Oh, man, I could go on and on and on. I will first mention our friends at She Will Rock You, which we just released a fun Queen episode with.
We have an earlier episode with them too. Yep, they're awesome. Yeah, yep.
They are amazing, amazing people. Fantastic podcasters. Really glad that we met them. We've had on Chris Hartman from the Film Exiles, which is a movie-based podcast. We went to high school with him, so that one is a little more personal. Yeah. But being able to have that connection, that somebody that you went to high school with that's also in the podcasting game, is really cool. I'm also Twitter friends with Tim McCarthy from 20 10 Minutes, mm-hmm. who does a self-help podcast where he does just fantastic stories about mental health and advocating for mental health, but he does it with humor kind of thrown into the mix. So it's not a heavy-handed show, and he does interviews with people, and it's all centered around mental health. And it's a fascinating listen. We've also connected with so many different music podcasts. X Radio X does a fantastic, fun, they're radio guys like I was. So theirs is based in radio, the Itch Rock Radio and podcast. Records Revisited, like I mentioned before. Our friend Lauren Carey at the Beard Owl podcast. We go back and forth on Twitter all the time. She's an absolute treasure. Patio Slave. I mean, there are so many different podcasts that we go back and forth with. I feel like I'm going to insult somebody by not mentioning all of them, and I would feel pretty guilty. Made You a Mixtape. Just so many awesome people, Well Disguised, On the Fly. I could go on. I could spend the rest of the hour mentioning the podcasts and podcasters that we've connected with via Twitter. And they are all incredible, incredible people. They are genuine. They're authentic. When they listen to a show, they'll actually send us like tangible feedback that we could use if something good sounded great, if something didn't sound good, if there was an issue with something. There's like a community there. And I understand that there's a lot of people on Twitter that will blindly retweet things, but we go in and we try to retweet and kind of put something like the way when you retweet stuff, you'll sit there and say, here's what I thought of the episode. And you'll kind of put something behind it as well. And you'll talk about, you put reviews out there and what you're doing for podcasters. It's kind of happening with a lot of the ones that we've connected with, where we're genuinely trying to help each other out, because at the end of the day, this isn't a competition. This is a community. This is a very large community, and it's better when you do it in force like this.
It's funny that you say that, Brian, because earlier you were saying we hung out, you and Gomez hung out in the same group in high school. Well, you really think about it, you and I are in the same boat now, but it's social media. We're in the same circle of people. And for me, when I started out and when I got into it, I started seeing all these great things that creators were doing. And I wanted to try to do something meaningful. There's Potter and Family, all that shit, and there's nothing wrong with it. But like you just said, I wanted to do something more than just retweet. I wanted to put all of us together and help all of us network with each other, bounce ideas off of each other, and grow together, and meaningful sharing of content and things like that. That's what I've tried to do, because there's a lot of sharing of content that is completely meaningless. And I'm not trying to be a jerk about it.
No.
It's brought us together, though. We are in that circle. We are in that community. And you're right. It's awesome. We could all talk all day about all the great people we've connected with.
Yeah. And you know, look, we've had some fair share of where we'll get blind DMs saying, hey, will you retweet our latest episode? They've never even introduced themselves to us. We don't go down that road because
I get that all day, every day.
I'm sure you do, but I don't want to have our, we don't want to turn the people that follow us. They're looking for music content.
Yep.
And when we post outside of music, we have to have a good reason, because they are music fanatics and we know that that's what they're looking for from our content. So we genuinely retweet a lot of music-based podcasts, but if there's a podcasting friend of ours that does an episode that resonate with us that has nothing to do with music, we're still going to promote that and try to help them out because we're friends with them. And that's where the connection lies. But for someone to just message and go, hey, we have a podcast too, it has nothing to do with your audience, can you share it? I don't sometimes know how to even respond with that, because as the show is growing, we're getting some more of those, but the ones that actually reach out to us as human beings and say, hey, Brian and Gomez, we're blank, wanted to introduce ourselves. Let me tell you a little about our show. You know, I love what you guys are doing. And we start actually having a conversation. And I've guested on a few podcasts that are not music related now, based on just these friendships that we're making online with these other podcasters. Because at the end of the day, again, we can all help each other grow our shows, because at this stage of the game, at the indie level, this is the same thing musicians are doing when they put five musicians together on a bill and they do an acoustic roundtable. All the people that come to the show get to experience all five musicians. And this is kind of the same thing, only digitally and virtually, where we're more than happy to share another music podcast, because if someone likes our show and we're a fan of another music show, we want our listeners to experience that as well. Because look, we're not trying to say we have to keep all of our listeners to ourselves. We want people to listen and have that conversation and enjoy the podcasting world with everybody, because there's so much great content out there. We're just thankful that people take any time out of their day to give our show a chance. And we're not going to sit there and try to steer them away from other content. We're going to embrace the other content because we have this kind of a niche with the Playlist Wars. She Will Rock You does rock history. Mm-hmm. We don't. So for somebody that likes that part of it, by listening to their show followed by ours, you get two different types of the same conversation. And we tried that experiment with the Itch Rock and Radio, Rock Radio and Podcast, because Aaron from the show came on Playlist Wars and we did a Weezer episode. And then the following night, I went on the Itch and we just did a Weezer discussion talking about the albums that they put out this year, Van Weezer and OK Human. And we discussed those as well as the 25th anniversary of Pinkerton. It seems like when we put the episodes out, we did it simultaneously. And a lot of people messaged us afterwards saying that was kind of cool because I got to listen to your show and I enjoyed Aaron. Then I went on their show and now I've discovered the Itch. Now I'm going to listen to their stuff as well. And had we not done that, we might not have crossed over listeners. So it's a really good thing to be able to network and work with these other podcasters and help grow all of our shows simultaneously.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's the same thing here, that the feedback is great when I hear that now I'm going to go listen to this podcast. But I've been involved in marketing for a long time. And when you're talking about retweeting and making sure that goes in front of the right people, billboards used to be the most effective thing. I mean, they were bigger than radio at their prime. But as you put more and more of them up every year, that's lost value to the point of where it is today. So you guys are reaching out to your the genre of people that you're applying to. What other things are in store for Playlist Wars moving forward? What goals do you have? And is there anything you have up your sleeve?
We started in March and we hit the ground running. We were going to do like this soft launch and kind of see how it goes, do an episode every other week. And from the jump, we started seeing our numbers growing and people reaching out to us. And I looked at Gomez and I said, dude, we got a monster here. We got to put our foot down on the pedal on this thing because people are enjoying this. They're getting into the conversation. So we're looking at ways to expand upon that. Maybe doing some live episodes down the road where people can kind of tune in and play along at home. So we're researching different ideas for that. Talking about doing some other live streams with some of the other music podcasters that we've connected with on Twitter. Maybe doing a large roundtable discussion with like 6 or 7 podcasts and doing a charity fundraiser to try to raise some money for a charity. Just kind of do some good things with it, because at the end of the day, none of us are at the Joe Rogan level where we're lining our pockets with all the cash that's inflowing from our podcasts. We do it because we love doing it. And that is the pitch that I give to people when they say, well, why should I listen to an indie podcaster versus the top podcasts on Spotify or Apple iTunes? And I said, well, there are fantastic podcasts at the top of the charts. A lot of NPR stuff is brilliant. Terry Gross, all these great interviews, fantastic stuff. Some of them, though, some of the more popular ones, and I don't want to talk bad about it, but the passion isn't the same. And some of them can kind of feel like they're on autopilot. And I don't want to say any name specifically because I don't want to talk bad about.
Yeah.
If you've made it to that level, they're obviously doing something that we haven't done to the point yet to get there. Indie podcasters bring such a passion because we're not, for the most part, getting paid for this. We're spending countless hours of time pouring into these shows, and it's a labor of love. Sometimes you can't manufacture that passion, and hearing it in some of these shows that we listen to and what we try to bring to Playlist Wars each week is something that I think is one of the key drivers of indie podcasts when people discover it. And one of the biggest compliments we get, or that we've gotten, is saying like, man, you guys are just so excited to talk about these topics. You never sound bored. You never sound like you're just kind of going through the motions. And we legitimately are. And we don't ever want to get to a point where we're like, oh, okay, here's my track. But we're never going to get to that point, because we're having so much fun doing it.
And I really do appreciate all the support that you guys have done for me as well. It's been an awesome interview today, man.
Thank you so much for having us. And I can't thank you enough. What you're doing for indie podcasters is truly fantastic. And I hope that those in the community that are listening, if you've never connected with us on social media, please do. We follow back any podcaster that follows us. The only caveat being, please, for the love of God, don't do the I follow you, you follow me back, and then I unfollow you so I can make my numbers look higher. That one is the only one that gets under our skin. Connect with us. Talk to us. We will respond. We will talk to any other podcasters. If you have questions on microphones or technical stuff or advice, throw it out on social. There are so many podcasters that are willing and happy to help and grow this community that's been growing here, that you're leading a charge on, that is just absolutely awesome. And we're just thrilled to be a part of it and thankful that people are taking the time to give our little show a chance.
Appreciate those kind words. I'll give you a second to talk about where to find your socials and then in the podcast.
Fantastic. You can find us at playlistwarspodcast.com. That's our main hub. That is where every episode is embedded. along with the links to vote for which of the three playlists you like the best. We also take it a step further. We include show notes on there and we embed the actual playlists that we talked about. So at the end of the episode, if you really want to kind of, oh man, I don't know if I should vote for Brian or Gomez here, you could go and click play and play the music and be like, oh, I see what he did there. All right, I'm going to vote for Gomez this time, or vice versa. I mean, obviously, I'm going to tell you vote Team Brian anytime. But with that being said, we try to put it all on the website as kind of a one-stop shop. You can also comment with your playlists on that site as well. We are also on Instagram at Playlist Wars Podcast. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Playlist Wars. Follow us anywhere on Twitter. If you follow us or on Instagram, we will follow back. We will connect with you. We will engage with you. We are not there just trying to build up a number of followers. That means nothing to us. I would rather have 30 followers that we have a discourse and a dialogue going back and forth with on a daily basis than 10,000 followers that couldn't give a hoot about what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So we're not about trying to just build up a number for an arbitrary sake. We genuinely want to connect with other podcasters, learn from them. Hopefully, maybe if they take away something from our show and we can help them grow and vice versa, because that's what we're all about. We're about having fun and enjoying this community that we're a part of.
Thanks again, Brian, man. It was an awesome conversation. Keep in touch.
Same with you, man. And anytime you need help, we are there for you. And thank you again for having me.
I'm always here for you too, man. No problem.
Really do appreciate you listening to this episode and checking it out. I hope you continue to do so with the next. I hope you have an appreciation for what I'm trying to do here. Highlight all the different things all sorts of different creators are doing. I hope you get behind me on that and continue to join me on my journey. I'm Podcast Father, the Indie Podcaster. See you next time.